You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Lakers. I am your host, Harrison Fagan, and again, for the third straight day, not with me, is my co-host, allegedly, Anthony Irwin, who has just completely absconded from his responsibilities and just taken off. I think he just, like, bought the day spa that he was hanging out at this point and just owns it and just, like, lives there now. And so joining me in his place is my internet son, Grant Goldberg of Forum Blue and Gold. How's it going, Grant?
It's good. I spent the day preparing for my appearance by editing some photos of Kobe in class. So, you know, I'm ready to go. I've been waiting.
I was hoping. Okay, well, I'm glad because normally, like, the days that Anthony doesn't come on, those are my breaks from him. And so I was worried you were going to say something like I spent my day preparing by making, like, bad puns on Twitter or something, and I was going to have to deal with that all show. So you took like a major kind of burden off of me by saying that it was just trying to do actually funny things instead of Anthony fun things.
Yeah, no, I'm here to help you out. So I'm not going to try to be Anthony because, one, I can't do that, and two, who would want me to do that?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, one, you can't do that. Two, who would want to do that? So real quick, you can, as always, you can find the show on iTunes, Megaphone, Panoply, TuneIn, Spotify, Alexa, Today's Fast Break, Stitcher, and not inside a secret tunnel into the Clippers locker room. But what you could find there last night was probably – I mean, I don't know. Are we willing to say it's arguably the greatest moment in NBA history?
All right. Well, there's a few trains of thought. There's the DeAndre Jordan being locked in a house.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban
kidnapped to stay with the Clippers
around the city. Right. There's the emoji night, which I think might have been the same night.
Yeah, I think that was the same day.
Yeah, there's a bunch of NBA Twitter moments, but last night, I'll just go with recency by saying it's top five night for NBA Twitter.
Yeah, no, for NBA Twitter, it's 100%, it's probably number one for me, but I just mean NBA in general. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, somehow these are not made up details. Like, this is the type of stuff, if I was trying to make up this scenario, I would struggle to come up with something more ridiculous than this. They not only apparently sent Clint Capella to the front of the Clippers locker room to distract them, but then Chris Paul, James Harden, and Trevor Ariza allegedly made their way through a secret back tunnel into the Clippers locker room because they were upset with Blake Griffin and or Austin Rivers, which, like, the Austin Rivers thing, I understand. I think, like, just on site, like, he is somebody that kind of makes people upset. So, like, I get that one, but, I mean, it's just incredible. Like, I don't know what the – Chris Paul is the president of the Players Association. I don't know what these guys thought was going to happen when this went on, but this is
– Is that what's going down? Is that what's going down in the meetings, in the Players Association meeting? It's just, like, mapping out every arena and seeing where the secret entryways to all the locker rooms are?
I think that's got to be it. It's Chris Paul just trying to figure that out, or, like, I don't know. Like, maybe I was joking last night that he's going to tell NBA investigators, no, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just door-to-door campaigning for re-election votes. I wanted to make sure that I had Blake and Austin's vote, and I brought James Harden and Trevor Ariza with me just to, you know, check on them.
Yeah, they were aggressively searching for the votes.
Yeah,
so, and I have this comparison in mind because, like, obviously we're in the playoffs in the NFL. And, you know, obviously Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are playing on Sunday, and, like, they're two game planners. They, like, are known for that. But I think Chris Paul kind of rivals that now. Like, now that we know, like, what kind of tactician he is, like, are we sure he's in the right profession? Like, he could be game planning for NFL teams if he really wanted to.
Chris Paul could be a military general at this point. Like, to come back to the locker room and map out a diversion and then flanking maneuver using a secret tunnel that apparently only he knew. I don't know who knew about it, but, like, I mean, this is just incredible. I always joke that he has a Napoleon complex, but like he might actually just be the next Napoleon.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to if I was Anthony, I'd be trying to like create a pun right there with like Napoleon and CP3, but there's nothing that comes to my head immediately, so I'm going to spare myself the embarrassment.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pass on that. But we could bring this back to the Lakers, because this is, I guess, ostensibly a Lakers podcast, although it's more just a podcast where, like, a washed-up former boxer and a giraffe yell at each other on the internet and, like, make puns and stuff and talk about day spas. But it's also kind of a Lakers podcast. And so my first go, we're going to try and have a more of a fun show today and try and get a little bit more just weird and out there with our questions, because we know that, like, you guys don't come to me and Grant for the nuances and X and O's of a pick and roll. But we're going to try and have some fun with this show today. And so my first question, we have some listener questions, but my first question for you, Grant, is from longtime listener at HM Fagan, and it's which Laker is most likely to use secret tunnels to fight an opponent?
All right, so I'm going to go with the Laker that has the most time on his hands, and Luol Deng. He's not playing basketball, so what is he doing? He's on the bench mapping out Staples Center, finding secret tunnels,
ooh,
even like making his own secret tunnels with, you know, the kind of resources that $72 million can bring you. I think that he can take fighting lessons. He can, you know, talk to former military generals. He can talk to Chris Paul, and he can find out what's the best course of action to fight his opponents outside of off the basketball court.
Okay, so the Batman thing. Batman's my favorite comic books character of all time, and the story's always been a little ridiculous. You know, just some random guy becomes like an Olympic level athlete and like fights crime using his money, but honestly, if there was going to be a millionaire that could do the Batman thing, it would be a professional athlete, and it would explain how Deng is never healthy. He's always injured. It would explain why he's always so fatigued. And I think you may have just inadvertently discovered that Luol Deng is Batman.
I mean, if it wasn't obvious before, I mean, it really...
Yeah, I mean, like, if he... I think we just discovered this. I want to get to my answer on this really quick, but just first a quick break. All right, so my answer on this, there were a couple directions I wanted to go with this. So I think if we're going all-time Lakers, it's definitely Kobe. Like 100%.
It's definitely Kobe.
Yeah, it's 100%. Like, there is no even, 1A choice. It is 100% Kobe, because...
He probably made the tunnel in the first place.
Yeah, to be honest, I said this on Twitter last night, but Kobe, to me, this is something that Kobe built, kind of like how Batman has, like, plans to take down every single member of the Justice League, just in case. Kobe had these tunnels built just in case he ever needed to go fight an opponent and didn't want to have to get past security.
See, I completely and totally agree to that with that, and I'm gonna backtrack a little bit. And next time that Oklahoma City comes to town, like, maybe Paul George will be like sitting out front, like looking at the new Elgin Baylor statue that they're gonna put in front of Staples Center, and the Lakers can use the secret tunnel to kind of to kidnap him and keep him in Los Angeles on his way to get ready for the game. I mean, I'm spitballing ideas. I don't know the kind of audience you guys have for your podcast, who's listening to the show, but you know, I'm dropping free hints. If anybody from the Lakers
kidnapping on the, I'm not bringing you back on the show again. You're gonna get us arrested, man. So my next guest would be Julius Randle, but that's one's unrealistic because he would just burst through the walls like the Kool-Aid man. Julius Randle doesn't need a secret path because Julius Randle cannot be stopped by walls or security guards or whatever. Like, Julius Randle, if he wants to fight somebody after a game, he would just be able to get there somehow. So,
and honestly, he doesn't need a secret tunnel to get to the coach's office to fight for more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fair. But you know what? Like, honestly, nothing I can come up with is going to top Luol Deng as secret Batman. And so I think we're just going to go with that. And
I think that's a Photoshop that I need to put out before we post this episode.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, like, Luol Deng uses his millions to, like, that's a report we need to get started. Like, go ahead and aggregate us, somebody. So next question is that this was actually your idea, just as we were coming up for the idea for the show, was what do you think would be a better option than Tyler Ennis at backup point guard? So let's just trade a couple hypothetical options for literally anything that would make a better option than Tyler Ennis as the Lakers' backup point guard.
All right, well, since I went first, last question, I think I'll pass it off to you to start.
Okay, so I am going to go with an unconventional choice of Air Bud because, like, I know, like, everybody said the reason Air Bud couldn't make it to the NBA level is not that he's a movie dog. It's that he just doesn't have, like, his handle's not tight enough to kind of go up against full court ball pressure in the NBA. Like, you watch the movie, he's batting it ahead pretty far. Like, he could outrace opponents at that level, but those were small children. I think, like, in the NBA, he's going to get that stolen a lot. But I think the reason that he would work out is, number one, he's a very good boy. And so he would raise team morale, and just like having him around, I think it's like the Lonzo effect times 100, just because everybody's going to be happier if Air Bud's around wearing a Laker jersey and just panting adorably on the bench. And I think the other reason is that like his team is at least going to know better than to pass it to him. Because they're going to be like, all right, well, we can't pass the Air Bud. Like, Tyler Ennis, you're going to feel bad. Like, he's a nice Canadian guy. Like, if you don't pass him the ball, it's going to hurt his feelings. Like, you gotta throw him the ball every so often. And so, like, it would help on that front. So there would be, like, less turnovers, less mistakes on that level. And then I also think he'd probably be more disruptive on defense. Because, number one, that would be kind of terrifying if a dog was just running around chasing you on defense. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you try to assume most dogs are friendly, but you never know. And then, like, I mean, he's just going to be able to get in passing lanes that Tyler Ennis just can't, like go through guys' legs and stuff like that. Like, just a very sneaky, disruptive defender. I'm going with Air Bud.
You know what? I'll add to your point right now. If Air Bud wasn't a golden retriever and was maybe a German Shepherd or a Great Dane, then there'd be a little bit more legs to your argument. But I think we need a better athlete. And, you know, I think that the replacement is actually someone we all know well. You know, Anthony's been off this podcast for what, three shows now? He hasn't been sick. He's been in the gym working on his jump shot, getting a tighter handle. I mean, we saw the Euro stumble. Now, if we could play that video over audio, we would, but we can't. So we're not going to.
Just picture it. You've seen it on our Twitter accounts, me tweeting out the Anthony Irwin Euro stumble video. That move is unstoppable. The finish needs some work, but that Euro stuff, like that would shake any defender, I think.
It's actually 100% success rate in getting to the rim. Finishing, it's zero. So it's going to need to have some work done to it. A little bit of altering. But yeah, Anthony played basketball in high school, and he's going to go back to his roots. And what he's been doing, he approached us and said, guys, we need you to step up and fill in because there's this opportunity presented to me and I can't pass it up. So I don't know if this qualifies as breaking news, but yeah, get ready for Anthony Irwin, backup point guard for the Lakers.
I think it's fair to say that would be probably the worst event in Lakers history, if we're being serious again for a second here. If Anthony played a single minute for the Lakers on the floor, I don't know specifically how it would go wrong. I think the Lakers would deservedly be penalized for 5 years, like not allowed to sign free agents.
It'd be cataclysmic. I have one more option for a backup point guard, and it's someone that we all know, again, it's Gary Payton. The first Gary Payton. He's been retired.
Let's get him out there. Yeah, let's get Pop, father-son duo. Let's get Pops out there.
Right, yeah. You know, who wouldn't want to see that? I mean, like, I can think of at least 29 NBA teams who would love to see that. And, you know, you give him a second chance at glory with the Lakers. We all know how it turned out when he played for us. So let's have another go at it. You know, the team isn't doing so well again. So I think they should cast a wide net, and you know, they went with a familiar guy, Lakers legend and Magic Johnson, to run basketball operations. So why not, you know, pick out another former name and add some depth to the roster?
Okay, so I actually have another kind of NBA adjacent name. So this will be our final one before we move on, but I'm thinking one of the guys who runs one of the Flat Earther Instagram accounts that trick Kyrie, and not for any like basketball play reasons. This is similar to the Air Bud thing where, like, you know, I'm not going to say that the earth is flat, but I know that believing the earth is flat empirically has made Kyrie Irving a better basketball player. Like, I don't, that you're not going to argue with that, right?
No, I'm not. And so, plus, like, have you been to space to see it for yourself?
Exactly.
No.
I haven't. That's what, so who can say, really? And so if you bring that guy in, he's going to at least get the Lakers' minds, the young Lakers' minds, functioning on a higher level. They're going to start picking things up more quickly, like Kyrie is. They're just going to start asking a lot of questions and just being really introspective. And we know how giving vague, bizarre, pseudo-philosophical quotes worked out for Kobe. It's worked out for Kyrie. I mean, we need to get woke Lonzo. We need to get woke Kuzma, you know? Like, I'm just saying, let's bring this guy in. Probably not going to help the team a whole lot on the court immediately, but just he's going to change the team's mindset, get them questioning some things.
We need to actually wake up Brandon Ingram. And also, like, I think that he'd at least be a better mentor than Andrew Bogut, putting better ideals in their minds than Andrew Bogut would.
Yeah, I think it's almost inarguable that that flat earthering is like less damaging than some of Andrew Bogut's more kind of out there political ideas that we don't need to get into a whole lot on this show. But what we are going to get into is your listener questions from Twitter. We're going to do that right after a quick break. All right, so this one comes to us from at I Am Stasmatics, a frequent listener of the show. I know we've answered your questions a couple times before, but Grant, how many times do you have to pay for ZO2s before they arrive?
All right, so I think you have to at least do maybe one or two payments, but I think it's not a question of financials, but just waiting it out. And I think we'll start to see these ZO2s getting to people when all three Ball brothers are on the Lakers, being coached by a new head coach, LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I also think, like, this is, you know, people have said, like, Lonzo grew up a LeBron fan, but I think this is where you're seeing the Kobe influence, because he wants people to have Mamba mentality just to get his shoes. Like, he's not just giving them to you just because you pay for them. Like, you need to probably, maybe, I'm not going to suggest that you should do this, but you might have to, like, actually show up at the Ball's house and demand your ZO2s. I'm just saying, you know? Like, it seems like they aren't really, the Better Business Bureau came out against Big Baller Brand and just kind of denounced them, gave them like an F- or something, and, you know, for consumer relations. And it sounds like, I just think that they are trying to figure out who the real big ballers are. Who are the people that are going to show up and demand their shoes? I think this is just some next level marketing by LeVar. He knows any headlines are positive headlines.
Right, yeah. You got to pay for your shoes, contact customer support, let them call you a small baller, and then I think you have to put them on layaway also, a second payment plan, and then you'll get an email confirmation that they might be shipped, and then you got to contact customer support again.
Yeah, a real big baller can just buy the shoes again and see if the order works that time.
I mean, like, what's money to a big baller?
Exactly. So I think next question, this one comes to us from at Daft Munt, and he said, and so Marcus Paul, and he says, if Alex Caruso shaved his head, he would look more like Jason Kidd. Do you think the reduced drag as he skates across the floor would make him play more like Kidd, but with a jumper? And honestly, Marcus, I think you might be onto something here. I think there is a, you know, we can't rule it out that shaving his head would make Alex Caruso a better player. And as a guy with, like, a fellow guy with a bad hairline, I feel bad for how hard I laughed at this question when it came in.
You know, honestly, we might have been comparing the wrong Laker to Jason Kidd all along.
Yeah, actually, that's true. We missed on which point guard was the was actually warranting the Jason Kidd comps. It's actually Alex Caruso, who's like Jason Kidd, but with a jumper and more athletic as soon as he shaves his head. So just come on home, Big Baller Brand.
You got to take that final step. You got to bring the razor to the head, and then we'll start to see some championships flowing into Los Angeles.
I'm definitely ready. So this next one comes to us from Ben Rosales, friend of the show, personal friend, and this one is actually, I think it's more for me than for you, Grant, but I don't know, it might be for you. So he says, so did you ever tell your dad at Laker Film Room who that date was? So what he is referencing is a couple weeks ago, I said that I was happy on Twitter, and so Pete was nice enough to just assume that, like, Harrison be happy? That's got to be because of a woman. And call me out, I think it got more likes than I'd like to admit, and that was, like, a little hurtful, guys. But So the answer to your question is I did tell him. I'm not going to say who she is on the air. But I will give you, because he did this to me, I'm going to give you a little behind the story, scene story on Coach Dad. And this was at that game against the Charlotte Hornets, I believe. And it was getting real bad. And so bad that at one point he DM'd me during the game. And he's like, so I'm cyber stalking Redacted. And I'm looking up, I'm looking through her Twitter. And that was like, that was a little scary. So I learned not to tell Coach Dad about my, my girlfriends anymore, because he's going to be a little intrusive.
Yeah. He's Coach Grandpa to me, being that I'm his grandfather and you're my internet dad. And I think we have another question about that, pertaining to that, but I like how you took the route to be kind of vague about who your date. I gave a shout out to my girlfriend on my podcast, and just I said my lovely girlfriend, and I left it at that, because one, you know, if you wanted to find her, then I'm sure you could, but I'm not gonna just throw out, you know, bait for you guys to take.
That's what I'm saying. Like Lakers, I love all of our listeners. I love Lakers Twitter. Lakers Twitter can be a weird place sometime. I'm not ready to expose her to Lakers Twitter just yet, at least not with her at. Like, she already saw what happened the other night when I mentioned that she was wearing a Dwight Howard jersey at my house. And she was like, yeah, never mind. Just don't at me ever. And so, you know, I'm just following orders at this point.
Yeah, guys, like, if you want to know how bad of a boyfriend I felt like one time, we all got together for the NBA draft this year. It was me, Harrison, Anthony, Coach Grandpa, his brother, and Ben. Darius joined us over Skype, over a phone call, which actually didn't turn out to be that good. But I brought my girlfriend with us, and it didn't turn out to be a very good trip for her, because as soon as we walked into the door, we started to do a live podcast about the draft, and I don't think she said more than 5 words the whole time she was there. And I felt terrible. As soon as we walked outside of the door, she says, Grant, I love you, but I'm never going to one of those again.
Yeah,
and I didn't contest.
I don't know that I've ever heard her speak, so I think you might be right on the less than 5 words the whole night thing. So, again, apologies to Grant's girlfriend, who seems very nice for that.
Yeah, she took it like a trooper.
So our next question is from Michael Huntley, who is actually a fellow Daily Titan alum. He works for the OC Register now, and he decided to reach out and ask a question. So he said, hey guys, first time caller, long time listener. The Lakers need a backup point guard. Do you guys think Smush Parker or Jordan Farmar could sign for the vet minimum? Thanks for taking my call. I think he was trolling me, but we are going to answer this question. I think,
do you mind if I start?
Yeah, go ahead. You can start.
Okay. Okay. One, I'm going with Jordan Farmar. And that there's a little bit of a backstory behind this. I'm going to tell everybody how Jordan Farmar avenged Tyronn Lue from getting stepped over by Allen Iverson.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
Everybody listening to the show knows about former Lakers point guard and now Cavaliers head coach Tyronn Lue being stepped over by Allen Iverson after the latter hit a jump shot over the former. Enter Jordan Farmar. During his second stint with the Lakers, he crossed up now Knicks point guard, former Jazz point guard, Trey Burke down to the floor, and it was absolutely nasty. Now, Burke, now with the Knicks, like I'm saying, put in fake Allen Iverson braids into his hair. So now I think that it's kind of a deal where Farmar retroactively avenged Lou by being stepped over by Allen Iverson by faking up fake Allen Iverson. Do you follow?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense to me. I think I'm going to go the opposite direction though, because I think that honestly, if we're really like looking at this objectively, the key to Kobe's greatness was his hatred for Smush Parker. I think everybody always credits the Shaq and like a Shaq being shipped out for developing Kobe into what he was, but honestly, I just think that it was Kobe, for whatever reason, was just so pissed off by Smush's existence that he wanted to become the best player in NBA history just so that he would be able to tell the Lakers to get rid of him.
I see no holes in that argument.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't argue with it. So we'll move on from that question and get to our next one. This one comes to us from Sean Davis at Lake Show, and he says that his wife hates when games go into overtime. I've been there. What can the NBA adopt to shorten the length of these games? 3-on-3, then penalty shot like the NHL, end games in a tie, a game of horse, or trivia? And so I'm inclined, you know, obviously the first three make a lot more sense basketball-wise, but I'm actually ready for, like, trivia with NBA players. Who do you think would be the best Laker in trivia?
First off, let's see. Well, not Lonzo Ball. He thought that Sojourner Truth was Paul Pierce's niece.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm almost here for this just because we're going to get to see Kuzma, like, roast Ball on Snapchat for losing them the game again in trivia for not knowing anything about non-basketball subjects.
All right, so I think Luol Deng's pretty smart, being that he's Batman. Larry Nance and Josh Hart both spent a lot of time in school. A dark horse, let's go with Thomas Bryant because I don't think he could do any wrong. Yeah, so those are my top choices for Lakers trivia.
Yeah, I think I'm probably gonna go. I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna extend this, and I'm actually we've crapped on Ennis a lot lately on Locked On Lakers. I'm gonna give Ennis a nod here just because he's gotta like know the playbook like the back of his hand for Luke to continue to be giving him minutes. Like that's gotta be what it is, and so. Maybe he's pretty smart all around. And so, like, I'll give Ennis a nod here, and he'll finally warrant some minutes when the Lakers use him to win a game in trivia overtime. So we'll go ahead and move on to the next one here, because this is actually going on longer than I thought it would. And this one comes from Shyam, and it's at Shy0Z. And he says, is this a crossover pod? Who is the best football player on the Lakers and the best basketball player on the Seahawks? So, Grant, I didn't actually mention this in your intro, but you do host Locked On Seahawks, also here on the Locked On Network. If you're a Seahawks fan that is also a Lakers fan, I imagine that is probably a small Venn diagram. But if you're into football at all, into the Seahawks, you should definitely listen to Locked On Seahawks. I will take best football player on the Lakers, and I will let you take best basketball player on the Seahawks. And actually, I'll have you go first. Who is the best basketball player on the Seahawks, do you think?
We actually had a conversation about this on our show at one point, and we created our starting five for the Seahawks if they were to play in a basketball game. And the name I keep coming back to, he might not be a Seahawk for very long after this offseason, but Jimmy Graham, he played college basketball at Miami, and he has size, speed, and he might fit in on the Lakers because his hands weren't that great this season. So that's who I am going with. George Fant also played at Western Kentucky, but he's coming off an ACL surgery, so who knows how well he's going to play. So I think the answer I keep coming back to is Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, we just know that it wouldn't be Pete Carroll because he doesn't believe in passing. He would probably just like travel the whole time. And so I'm going to go with Julius Randle because I think he'd be like maybe the best defensive lineman or pass rusher in NBA history or in NFL history. I don't want to overhype it, but it just he seems very hard to stop and he seems very determined to get his goals. And I think that in another life, he probably could have been very good in the NFL on defense, I would imagine.
Who would be the worst Laker playing football?
That's a good question. Maybe Corey Brewer, just because he's so long and skinny, he'd probably get
uncoordinated
the first time that he got tackled.
Yeah, I think Zubats is a little wonky too. He wouldn't be able to get off the line.
Zubats would not make it.
Yeah, like we would not see like a too tall
kind of situation with that.
Honestly, I think that he's way too wonky.
Yeah, and he'd get his knees taken out or something. Like nobody needs to see Zubats play football. But I think honestly, like the next question is actually kind of related to this one, and so I grouped them together. This is from Jasper Hudson at Jasper Hudson, and he says, "Is Lonzo an elite QB?" And I'm actually going to go with yes. I think Lonzo might be like he fits the profile for an elite QB in the NFL because people argue about him all the time. The team is clearly better with him, but there's still doubt about his talents. And, you know, he hasn't won a ring yet. So that kind of leaves room for debate. Once you win a ring, everybody knows you're an elite QB. And so, like, Grant, I'm going to ask you, is Lonzo Ball elite?
Yeah, I'd say he's elite. And I'd go as far to say that he's the best quarterback in Los Angeles.
You know, that you actually might not be too far off, and because I don't follow the Rams or the Chargers very much, so I have no way to dispute what you just said. So we'll just go ahead and move on to the next one. This comes to us from Nick Clark at Clarky272370, and he says, this is actually one of my favorite questions we got. Start one, bench one, cut one is the Lakers' primary ball handler from here on out. Ennis, KCP, and Magic coming out of retirement. Grant, what do you got?
All right, so it was start one, cut one.
Bench one.
Bench one? Okay, so... All right, so primary ball handler, you're going to start Magic Johnson. You're going to start him in that kind of Zaza Pachulia role where he only plays like 7 minutes in the half, and then you're gonna bench KCP because he's gonna give you some defense and some scoring while he's still on the team. And then I just can't watch Tyler Ennis play basketball anymore. It's painful at this point.
Yeah, this has become a very vindictive podcast to Tyler Ennis, but I was also going to go with cut Ennis, although I'm flipping my two choices because, number one, starting KCP, because honestly, he's taken too much hate lately. Like, we're going to actually venge back into seriousness for a second here. Like, KCP's been really good over these last, like, five games. And
he's played like a free man.
Yeah, he's been completely unshackled to operate within the Lakers offense, especially with Ingram and Lonzo out. And, like, today I tweeted out, like, he said that he wanted to be more aggressive if those two were out. And, like, people got mad about that, but honestly, he's been playing really well. Like, I'm not going to hate on KCP too much. Like, lately he's been, and, you know, like, the whole, like, I don't want to psychoanalyze him too much, but the whole prison thing, like, that's got to weigh on you. He's been really good. I'm going to go ahead and start KCP, and people are going to be mad because that is blasphemous with Magic as an option. But I think Magic, you know, he's coming out of retirement. He hasn't probably played organized basketball in quite some time. I think he probably, because he's Magic Johnson, he'd probably be able to give you, like, a pretty good game per week, but on a consistent basis, no, it's definitely going to be KCP. It's going to be better than him. I don't feel like I'm going out on too much of a limb there.
Yeah, no, and to extend on your KCP point, just really quick, I think he's shooting, like, 45% from the field, like, or no, 50% from the field, like, 40-something from three. And he's finishing in transition, and those were kind of the big knocks on him during his term with when he was in jail. So, like, he's when I say he's been playing free, like, he's been playing with a clear conscience and no hesitation when he shoots. Not that he ever didn't have hesitation when he shoots, but I think that, you know, we're seeing a new KCP. Yeah, exactly. They don't hesitate to go in.
Yeah, and so we'll go ahead and jump. Man, okay, so Lakers Twitter is very upset with Tyler Ennis because we have another question about Tyler Ennis. And this one comes to us from Nathan Allen Barnhart, and he says, did the Rockets send Tyler Ennis to sabotage us? And I am actually not, after last night, I am not convinced this is not true. Because the Lakers really gave, I mean, we joked that Marcelo Huertas was, like, special, he was the catalyst, all that stuff. Marcelo Huertas was not very much. Like, they traded us Tyler Ennis, or the Lakers Tyler Ennis, just, like, to get rid of him. And, or to send him in as a double agent and make sure the Lakers never get back to prominence.
Listen, man, they could be holding a grudge from the playoff series, from when Kobe was playing, and I don't know, man, we've seen them take these tactics, that we've seen them go through secret tunnels. And so I wouldn't put it past the Rockets to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl Morey, say what you will, like, that he, you know, like, people criticize him for being only about analytics. He figured out that, you know, if you just manipulate the human element, you can really tank the Lakers. He solved this one. He really hoodwinked them on a couple levels. So, like, honestly, executive of the year. That was a solid move by him, sending in Tyler Ennis as double agent. So we'll go ahead. We'll jump into this next one. This one is from Kyle K at Call Me Kinslow, and he says, if Lonzo Ball's shot was a diet trend, what would it be? And real quick before we answer, somebody responded actually in this thread and said, Weight Watchers, because you have to keep your points low. And that was at Ruben_OT responded with that, which was actually a pretty good answer. My answer is along a similar line, and I'm going to go with paleo diet because people won't shut up about it, and like, it's not really clear, and, like, it's not really clear how helpful he is, like, because there aren't a whole lot of stats to back it up yet, but people just, you know, based on eye test and based on field test, they keep saying it's really effective. Like, those things are true of the paleo diet, and they're true of Lonzo Ball. So, Grant, what do you got?
All right, so I'm gonna relate to, you know, what I know in football and say that it's the opposite of Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen's diet. I don't know if it's famously, but he skips breakfast and he only eats two meals a day, and it got him back in playing shape, and it got him, you know, playing like an elite wide receiver. I'm going to flip it and do the opposite. You skip two meals, thus making only one meal, or about 33% of your meals.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I think that's probably the best way to describe Lonzo Ball. Like, he'll give you a boost one-third of the time, and then the rest of the time, you know, there are things that he doesn't do well yet. But, like, again, I think both of us are in agreement. He's going to be very good at some point. So, like, maybe at some point he'll get to Keenan Allen diet level.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I'm very high on Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, there are people, like, already talking like he's a bust, and it's just crazy. I mean, it's like you, like, if you're talking like that, or, like, there's not a chance that he's going to be, possibly, like, a top 10, top 5 player in the league at some point. Like, there's a chance. I'm not saying that's a guarantee, but there's a chance, because he just does every single other thing so well as a rookie. And it's like I was talking about with Coach Dad the other day. He does it without having, like, any of the fundamental skill stuff. And, like, once he gets a floater, you know, like, once he starts, like, maybe hitting some more threes, he's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and we see little parts of that, too. We've seen him hit the floater in a game. We saw him hit Kemba Walker with a hesitation dribble and then go to the lane, get into the lane for a dunk. And we see little parts of these, and as soon as they come together and as soon as his game becomes even more complete, now we're going to be seeing a really, really good player. I think that his ceiling, he could become, you know, a top 15 Laker, which is not a bad list to be in. You know, yeah. This is the most prestigious franchise in NBA history. I mean, I would say arguably, but I'm biased, and, you know, this is the audience that we're talking to.
That's fairly objective. Like, the right. Celtics won all their titles when the league was just a bunch of accountants for the most part, so, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, top 15 Laker, I don't think that's outlandish to say, you know, given his his potential to grow his game even more and expand it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility for him. Again, neither of us, I don't think, are saying that's a guarantee, but it's a possibility for him. It's on the table. Like, he has shown enough to me as a rookie that, like, I'm convinced that with a couple of years of skill work, a couple of years of working on the little things, he is going to be really, really special.
Agreed.
And so that'll lead us – that kind of leads us out of, like – we just have a couple quick, like, rapid-fire ones here. I'm realizing I forgot to save Jacob Rude's specific question, but he asked, when am I going to admit that Grant is his internet son and not mine? The answer is never. Next question, because I'm not going to give Grant the chance to answer that. Like, Grant, you're with me now. And so this one comes to us from Christian Rivas of Silver Screen and Roll, at Rad Rivas on Twitter. He's a good follow. He's doing some good work over there for Silver Screen and Roll. Probably, like, a better replacement of me than I ever was, and so, like he's doing good stuff over there. And so he asks, has anyone recognized you guys in a public setting, and if so, how did it go? I don't know if this has happened to you, Grant, but I've been recognized a couple times, and it's actually really cool. Like, honestly, anytime a listener of the show has run into me in public, it's just surreal that anyone listens to this at all, especially after recording nearly 40 minutes of you and I making meme jokes, that anyone listens to this show at all and cares, you know, about my work or what I have to say. And, like, every single interaction that I've had in person with somebody who listens to the show has been unbelievably cool and, like, a surreal moment, and I'm always grateful for them. So, Grant, what do you got? Anything?
Yeah, it's happened to me once. It was at Zach Harper's show in Hollywood. And I think he asked a question on this, Shyam. It was by far, you know, it was obviously weird the first time it ever happened to me, but it was kind of cool, like, admittedly, and he was super nice. I almost didn't know how to react because I'm just, like, an average guy and I go about my business like everybody else, but to have your work acknowledged and know that you're not doing it for nothing, it's a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, no, same thing. It's always really cool. And so, and like getting asked stuff like this next question, this is from Patrick Kennan, and he just wanted us to shout out all the Lakers fans in the Philippines. And, like, I will give a massive shout out to the Lakers fans in the Philippines. I don't look at the metrics for Lakers Nation stuff because that's not my job, but with Silver Screen and Roll it was. And I know that we got a ton of traffic from the Philippines. Laker fans in the Philippines are, like, no joke. That is, like, a huge segment, and that is a significant segment, and we appreciate, like, us that cover the team, we appreciate you guys because you make our work more necessary and more, like, and more valuable. So, yeah, I will definitely give a shout out to the Philippines.
Yeah, they are really, you know, the meaning of diehard fans. They oftentimes watch games at, you know, ungodly hours, and they've grown the sport, you know, globally. And, you know, the Philippines have been, you know, part of the lifeblood of Lakers fans, and they're an essential part to our community. And, you know, they're just incredible. They're dedicated, and yeah, I think that basketball has grown to, you know, obviously globally, but especially in the Philippines, and the Lakers are a big part of that. So, no, let's all show some love to the Philippines and the Laker fans that live there.
I've actually, you can see the videos of Jordan Clarkson and like other guys that go, but the ones I remember are Clarkson because he went over there a couple summers ago and I covered it pretty closely. Like, I obviously wasn't there, but like through social media and stuff like that. And the videos were pretty incredible. And I remember talking to him about it once and he's just like blown away. Like, he's a guy that, especially like his first season with the Lakers, I think got recognized a fair amount. And like, he's experienced people being fans of him, but like over there, the way he talks about it, it's just a whole nother level.
Yeah, no, Jordan Clarkson's usually like a pretty like even keel, cool guy, but you know, I've seen him get really animated about like the love and support that the Philippines show, and it's not for nothing. They're completely, you know, totally awesome.
Yeah, and so that leads us into an awkward segue to our final question of this show, unless ones came in on Twitter while we were recording, and I'm filibustering while I check that, and it looks like they did not. So our last question of the show is from friend of the show, at Master Red Snappa, like Grant's prime, I'd say, I don't know, the Shaq tier Kobe of Lakers Twitter memes, and like...
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys feud or if you guys are at the stage where you're getting along yet, but you might be feuding after this because he asked, what kind of potatoes do you guys use to record the audio for Locked On Lakers? Which, you know, that was a little hurtful, but I will go ahead and answer that. I use what kind of microphone is this? It is right now I'm using an Audio-Technica microphone, and then I also have a Blue Yeti that I use when I'm at my house. I'm currently at my parents' house, but I have a travel mic that I use, and I think the audio came out okay yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I didn't listen to the show yesterday, which I'm a bad friend because you and Hani are great, and I consider you guys close friends, so I have some work to do in that department, but I am using a blue snowball microphone. I have a little mobile sound booth that I like carry around it. I got it for Christmas and it's super awesome. So yeah, I'm trying to improve the sound quality of the Locked On Seahawks podcast, but also Locked On Lakers today.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. And so that'll actually do it for maybe the most bizarre episode of Locked On Lakers that we've ever done. But we wanted to have some fun with it. We hope that you guys had fun with it. There really wasn't a whole lot of news today. It sounds like Ingram is likely to play tonight against the Thunder and that Lonzo Ball is most likely going to sit. But we will see what ends up happening on that front. Other little tidbits, Lonzo's 11th in the league in jersey sales. Elgin Baylor's getting a statue. Like, there were a couple little things to happen, but not too much of note. And so I wanted to have Grant on, and we tried to have a little bit of fun with it. Grant, is there anything that you want to plug it for yourself or, you know, get people to go listen to or watch or read or whatever?
Yeah, no, as we said, I'm the host or co-host of Locked On Seahawks, and you can find all of our shows on iTunes. We're about to get on Spotify. We're still waiting for that. But, you know, anywhere really that you listen to your podcast will be on. And, you know, you can follow me on Twitter at Grant Goldberg. And, yeah, go to Forum Blue and Gold for a lot of good Lakers analysis and a great social media presence, I'd say.
Yeah, honestly, you guys should be following what's the new Forum Blue Gold at for the site? You should be following Grant at Grant Goldberg. You're doing Twitter wrong if you don't. But what's the new at for the site so that people go follow that as well?
Yeah, the accounts page is at forumbluegold_. And I want to clarify something now that I have like a little like pedestal to step up on and say, I'm not the guy to inquire about writing for the site with. It's Darius at forumbluegold. I've gotten a few inquiries to write for the site and I've directed them all to Darius. I've had to change the Twitter bio of the site so we can get more inquiries directed his way. But I'm honored that you guys reach out to me and say that you love my work, but I also know that's a ploy to get to write for the site. So don't send them my way, send them Darius's way.
Yeah, so you heard it here first. Grant does not want any compliments on his work. He sees through your transparent acts. Anyone complimenting Grant, including myself, he figured it out. I'm just trying to write for Darius. So yes, please send all of your requests to write about the Lakers to @ForumBlueGold. And he will gladly appreciate that. Also, any Lakers questions you have about anything, just send them to @ForumBlueGold. And, you know, just questions about life in general. Like, whatever you want to ask him about, Darius is generally very responsive and very friendly. And he just wants all of your questions about everything. Like, especially if you think Lonzo Ball's bad at basketball.
Especially if you think that he should change his Twitter avatar.
Yes, actually, he just wants to get enough requests to know that it's something that people want. So also tweet at him to change his Twitter avatar. Remember, that's @ForumBlueGold. All right, so that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Lakers. Grant, thank you for coming on. Anthony and I maybe will be back. It might just be me and another guest tomorrow after the Thunder game. We will see what happens if Anthony decides to make his way back to civilization from the day spa. I will talk to you guys soon.